Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
This week's episode of Mike and Judy sponsored by Roberta's. It's sponsored by Roberta's.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show. Spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are. To pluck the low-hanging fruit of the literati, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
I don't even know what to say after that sponsorship drop.
All right, Roberta's.
That was super awesome.
I don't think you used sound effects for that either.
That was exactly how it sounded when I recorded it.
Well, but Brandon's obviously tied into the new Quaalude scene here in Bushwick.
That was great. That's better than our show. Well, no, it would be better of our show if we didn't have such great guests today.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's nice to have you back, Judy. We missed you last week.
Yes, I missed being here. I was full of disgusting phlegm at home, which was not as fun as being here with you and Rachel Schuchert.
Well, it's good to be back. It's the Mike and Judy Show again. Back together again. The
reunited and abused. So
and
good.
You love Christmas. So
I do love Christmas.
And we're going to be celebrating Christmas today. And always.
We're going to be celebrating forever. Christmas until it gets here.
Explain to us again why you love Christmas so much.
Because I love shiny things, okay. Blinking lights.
Okay, that's just your autism speaking. Besides that.
I love the smell of the Christmas tree. I love getting presents. I love buying presents.
Really?
Well, don't get too excited. I have to give my dentist a gift of $8,000 this December, so Christmas present buying is going to be a little light.
But 8 days of Hanukkah. Just saying.
If I could get... Okay. You'll get 8 M&Ms spread across 8 days.
Works for me. Your presence is presence enough.
Oh, liar.
And here we are today is our wine-o-rama, our first ever holiday wine-o-rama with my very good friend, Jean-Luc Ledoux, James Beard Award winner. We're sitting here also with Patrick Martins of Heritage Food and our corporate suit.
Bonjour.
Jean-Luc... world famous sommelier, but now runs Ledoux's Wines in the Far West Village on Washington Street, and was just named the number one wine shop by Zagat's, right?
Yep.
Good and glad to see you here. Whee!
Wow. Yay. Thank you.
And I'd love.
So why did you get to say bonjour?
You can speak French if you want. We have a very we have a polyglot audience, very sophisticated.
Yeah. I mean,
as you can tell by
means our, hello.
As
everybody.
You can tell by
thank you.
As you can tell by our sponsor.
Perfect. Very the whole thing in French.
I know the Mike and Edison listenership. It means hello.
All right. Well, let's quit fucking around. There's a bottle of bubbly there. What do we got? Let's get started.
Ooh. Well,
you know, you started this whole thing by telling me we were going to have pizza.
There
and
will be
there's
pizza
no
coming.
Pizza.
It will be here any moment, I
so
promise you.
So I brought pizza wine today.
Okay, good.
And I thought it would be fun to start with a little sparkler because Judy said how much she loves Christmas
love
Hanukkah,
Christmas.
Like
or
anything
Hanukkah.
That brings a gift. So I brought a little bit of sparkling wine today. And I know you love of all things Spanish. So I brought a cava.
So true.
Yep. So I brought a Navarone Cava, a 2009 vintage. It's a Brut Cava. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to open it. So who do you want me to eat? So you just tell me now.
Your friend right behind you.
This place is going to look like the locker room of the Boston Red Sox in about 2 seconds.
without the plastic coverings, so which is a problem.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
Oh!
And all right.
And let the games begin. Let the games begin.
What does it mean when it spills? Is that just chance, or does that mean it's a better quality wine when nothing comes out?
No, it means it's a lousy sommelier.
What is the difference between cava and champagne? I love wine, but I don't know that much about it. We're pouring right now.
Hold on 1 second. Let me finish pouring.
Let him do the important God's work of pouring. I love this inviting people who bring us stuff, like the treats truck lady. From now on, all of our guests need to bring us stuff.
You didn't like the apocalypse show as much.
Yeah, I don't smoke pot, so I don't really give a shit about that. But
we're bringing it back.
Let's taste some delicious cava.
All right.
First of all, we need to clean
bubbly,
the glasses.
Bubbly and brute. Chin chin, everybody.
Do we need to smell chin, it first?
And we hope everybody at home is getting bombed with us.
So you asked a very important question. What is the difference between cava and champagne? Well, they are both places.
Oh.
Champagne is a place. You can't make cava in champagne. You can't make champagne in cava. Cava is a place in Spain. Those are wines that are made using the same method that you would use to make a champagne. Except in a different country, in a different place. So they have a different taste. You know, wine is all about terroir, about the place it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no disservice that a cava can call himself champagne. It's just that he comes from, a different area.
But is it less good? I know it's not as well known, but is it less good?
It's different. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of wine. You know, like if I wanted to drink the same thing every day, I'd have a bourbon and Coke. Mm-hmm. But
really?
If I wanted... Or just Coke, or just bourbon.
Yeah, that's
But wine, the beauty of it is that you could drink a bottle every day for the rest of your life, and you wouldn't have to drink the same thing every day. And I think that's the important thing, is that wine is a product of a place, of a grape, of a winemaker, of what we call in French terroir. And hence, like every single wine made is different.
I have had champagne in Champagne. I've also had rye crackers in Rye, New York.
And now you're putting the hava and cava.
That's it. It's all about sourcing locally, right, Patrick?
Yes. Absolutely.
But if you don't want to break the bank, when you're drinking sparkling wine,
I do champagne, like a bargain.
Exactly. Well, I think this is a great bargain. I think the quality of this wine, again, this is a Navarin cava from Spain, 2009. And I think this is an excellent sparkling wine, which is dry, which is complex, which has aromas of almonds.
Mm-hmm. It's very delicious. It's very dry. I like this very much.
How much would this run a lady?
About $15 a bottle.
Okay,
how much would it run a guy?
And
for you, 17. But...
for the Jews in the audience, remember, it's not what it costs, it's what you get it for. But, let's talk about the $15 bottle of wine for a moment, because I am a hardcore, always hard target search for the great $15 bottle of wine. I drink a bottle of wine or open a bottle of wine every night in my house.
Okay.
And I don't, want to drop $30 or $40 on a bottle of wine just to have dinner with curry
you are.
In a hurry. And I think there are great $15 bottles of wine. I mean, you have to look, you have to search it out, but... I've been having great luck with Malbec, which is a great value, and Rioja, of course, is a great value at $15. What else have we been looking for $15?
Beaujolais.
Ah, I'm so glad you said that.
It's the season for the new stuff, right?
Okay, the bottle I had was crap so far this year. The one, the Ghetto Fabulous Georges Dubuque label that looks like, the fresh plonk of Bel Air.
Oh, the one with the graffiti on it?
Yeah, oh my God.
Forget about that.
Oh, my God.
It was a bore mauvais.
Okay, it's the worst thing that's happened to France since the German occupation.
It was a mauvais. Beaujolais.
Oh, man. It's a Beaujolais.
Exactly.
But you like Beaujolais. And I
love Beaujolais.
So tell us why, because I think it's got a bad reputation just sort of being as a breakfast wine.
Mr. Shower Beer.
It's grape juice. It's young. I mean, it's obviously not mature. The Nouveau, anyway. We're talking the Nouveau Beaujolais. Do you get excited when the Nouveau comes out?
I don't get excited about the Nouveau Beaujolais. I think, this is a wine that was born out of a promotional idea about 30 years ago. And it's an idea, it's an idea which time has passed. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're really having today a new generation of winemaker. I think Beaujolais Nouveau single-handedly destroyed Beaujolais by making people think that Beaujolais is not a quality wine, when there is a total core of amazing winemaker in Beaujolais that make great wine year in, year out. And actually, I brought a little Gamay with me today that we can taste after we down that bottle of sparkling wine.
I like Beaujolais.
It's bottoms up today. Like, we don't finish it, I don't open the next one.
To me, Beaujolais is a great summer wine. It's a great picnic wine because it's, you know, red wine that you can drink chilled, mm-hmm. right? You know, as opposed to others that it actually tastes great. It's light. You can do a few bottles.
But who does the Nouveau Beaujolais? Is it the same producers that do the high-end Beaujolais, or was it a new breed of young guys that wanted to make cheap wine?
No, I mean, it's being made by a whole array of different estates. I mean, Beaujolais Nouveau is a wine that has to be, when most wines are still in barrels and won't be released for another year, like Nouveau Beaujolais is already out. Like right now, you're tasting the 2011 Nouveau Beaujolais. So it's a wine that was harvested in September that's on the market in November.
So it really is like grapefruit juice.
It's like a
breakfast wine.
Just born baby, you know,
after a shower.
Well, so severe. I mean, I used to get into it, you know, whatever. You pick up a bottle of the Nouveau, it's inexpensive, whatever. Let's see what tastes. It's because it's very inconsistent year to year.
Yeah.
Some years, I mean, wow, this tastes really good. Most years are actually just kind of boring. Is the problem? It's not even that's so. It's not particularly bad. It's just not. It's boring. It's got no character. It's
well,
got
it well, the beauty about Beaujolais Nouveau. If you're into headaches, nothing will give you as hard a headache the morning after than an overdose of Beaujolais Nouveau.
I do love a headache in the morning.
You know, exactly. So if you like that, I mean, drink it away.
You know what's really good for a hangover?
Beer in the shower?
Drinking too much the night before.
What about the new boxed wines? I'm kind of a fan.
Are we doing Tetra Bricks, like Euro style box wine?
You know, we actually, you know, I tell you, it's interesting. People are all about packaging these days.
Mm-hmm.
And
A can of wine.
Or like the Sofia Coppola champagne or whatever it was.
The little pub thing, yeah. But like the packaged wine in bricks, they are not, you know, like 10 years, 15 years ago, that was like really the low end of wine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apart for Thunderbird, maybe. But that was really like the low end of wine, the boxed wines. And as they've been really a new generation in the last 3-4 years that are putting wine they were actually bottling before and then are putting into boxes. And we're selling a couple at the shop. But again, it's all about packaging. We had an excellent wine that came in a Tetra Brick, couldn't sell a bottle of it. We have one that comes in a wooden box. If the thing flies out of the window.
Oh, really?
So it's...
When I was living in Spain, there was a lot of table wine that came in the Tetra Brick. And it was, you know, the same wine that you'd have at lunch at a, you know, for the 800 Peseta menu del Dia. It was coming in a brick. It was it's a very efficient way, you know, non-breakable packages that fit together. You can put a lot of wine in a truck when it's packed in a Tetra Brick as opposed to a bottle, right?
I wish you could do like you can do in supermarkets in France, where, you know, you can go to a supermarket in France with your empty bottles, and there's a dispenser where you can just, like, it's almost like, you know, like a beer in a bar, and like you can just like fill up your container and go back home. And it costs you like a euro or two.
Like a growler.
It's like wine. A wine growler.
Yeah, they have wine on tap at a... What is it? At St. Anselm's over in Williamsburg.
Well, wine on tap is an idea whose time has finally come in New York. People just were not ready for that. I know a few places that tried it in New York, and finally people are realizing that it's okay to get wine from a barrel. I mean, that's where it's coming from anyway, right?
And there's less manipulation. The wine doesn't suffer. You know, wines, every time you manipulate a wine, however little, you take something away from the wine.
Let's manipulate some wine now.
Well, do you believe in those machines that they use? They're those big, expensive machines, and they put tubes into each bottle, and then it comes. Does that seem to manipulate it too much, no?
You know what? If you open a bottle of wine, finish it.
The thing so about wine is like, the pump doesn't
I mean,
work?
Like, finish it the following day, but don't stop, like, trying to pump thing into it, pump things out of it. Like, I mean, come on, leave the bottle alone. I mean, it's a fragile. I mean, you do pork, and you do great pork. I mean, like, if we were, like, pumping...
That's pork for our English-speaking friends.
Finish your chop. Don't save it.
Don't, you know, it's like, don't manipulate the chop.
Let's manipulate some of that Beaujolais, some of that Gamay, and see what that's all about.
Where's the pizza?
You know, Roberta's is awesome, but they can be a little crowded. Well,
they're overwhelmed. Overwhelmed today.
It's Sunday afternoon here at Roberta's in Bushwick. And
we obviously thought Jack had more pull here than he does. But.
So I brought for us today, you talk about Beaujolais. And I thought you were, since we were supposed to have pizza.
The pizza's coming, Jean-Luc.
All right, I'm just saying.
God, we're just,
I'm just saying. Like, you know, we're,
you know, last week there was 100% Jews on the show and there was less complaining.
But yeah. I'm French.
French complain more than Jews.
That's right? Why we get along so well.
Right. You know, my favorite French wine?
Well, I'm going to give you your new favorite French wine.
You want some Jewish wine? Can we go to Bloomingdale's now?
Oh, wait. Come on. Don't get me started on kosher wines.
Delicious.
Mm.
So, I got a wine today that comes with a screw cap.
All right. And I think screw caps are okay. And I think there's also a misunderstanding in the market that somehow screw caps are not going to be the same quality as a cork bottle.
I love a screw cap. I think we're going to take a break while we...
You know, while we get ready for this, I know the song we're going to play that Jean-Luc picked out. How I met Jean-Luc is actually a pretty good story, actually. I was on my way to do a tour of Europe with my band, the Edison Rocket Train, and I asked a friend of mine in France, in Toulouse, but they're all from the north.
Gildas.
Oh. Gildas, of the fantastic fanzine. Freaked out. Dig it magazine, right?
We used to have a radio show together when I was 15 years old in France.
Ephemère,
l'écho des garages.
And he said, well, you should call our friend Jean-Luc. You know, he's a rock and roll fan, and he'll help you out, because I wanted to learn to sing a song in French. And when I went up to Jean-Luc's place, I didn't realize that A, he had been such a high-powered sommelier, or B, that he was such a big Ronchance fan, the band that I'd been in for many years. And we became very, very fast friends. And in fact, that's when I introduced you to a former guest on the show, Andy Chernoff.
Of course.
Of the Dictators, who became the rock and roll sommelier and worked at Ledoux's Wines on Washington Street in the far west village. Number one wine shop in New York by Zagat's.
Thank you, man. Well, you know, I was a fan actually of the Ronchance before the Ronchance, because I was a fan of The Outer Place.
Right.
And I arrived in New York in 1985, and I was really into rock and roll, and I saw The Outer Place, the Fuzz Stones, you know, all the Cramps, all those bands, and it was really the bands I liked.
Can you believe this guy worked at Danielle? Anyway, so let's go back, go way back. Here, the Ronchans doing
words? Thunderbird.
Yeah.
The Ronchans.
Can you dig it? Woo! Doing the wappadang. Old school, right, Jean-Luc?
Yep, 40 twice.
We're here with Jean-Luc Ledoux, Mike Edison, Patrick Martin, and I believe we have Frank DeCaro on the line.
You certainly do.
Hey, Frank, I love your new book, The Dead Celebrity Cookbook.
My favorite thing anybody ever says. Thank you.
I have to say, though, a lot of the recipes are kind of repulsive.
Oh, not a lot, just a few.
I was going through it. I was going to make some food for these guys, but no.
Jean-Luc saw your book, and the first thing he said was, really? What was Sid Vicious's last meal?
Wait, I just see Wheezy and George Jefferson on there.
Oh, yeah. Can you talk a little bit about Isabel Sanford's Boston Chicken? One of the...
Yeah, we're gonna start with Isabel. Thank you for nothing. No, we're going to start... Isabel Sanford's Boston Chicken was the one recipe that I taste tested that we were a little scared of, because... It's Why? Not even fun as comfort food. It's just yucky.
It's my heart.
And I still love her as Wheezy Jefferson. I'm crazy about Isabel Sanford. But her Boston chicken is, it's, you take chicken and you paint it. That's the instructions. Paint it with a mixture of Russian dressing, apricot jam, and onion soup mix.
Don't forget the pineapple preserves.
But I do say, watch her on the Jeffersons. There's an episode where she creates what her husband calls a ghetto cookbook, and it's, you need to watch that episode.
Do you have any meals in here that might be good for Jean-Luc to come up with a pairing for?
Well, I think Paul Lynn's beef stew would be kind of a good thing. I mean, he was saucy.
The
and
what?
And it turns out, even though it's made with canned vegetables, because you got to remember, in the 60s, using canned things and frozen things was modern. It wasn't just that they were tacky. It was modern to do that.
Clarence Bird Eye was the future.
What page of the book is that?
I know, and I didn't get my jetpack or anything. I'm bummed. I really was hoping it was going to be like that, and it didn't work out.
Where is Paul Lynn's... What page is that?
Poland is in Europe.
Section.
It's probably in the center square.
Exactly. No, it's not that. But he's in the Funny Man, a chapter. And it's very easy to make, and you make it with a bunch of canned veggies, and you think, how good could this taste? And then you leave it overnight, and the next day you reheat it, and you're like, this is good.
So the secret is about leaving it overnight. I love it.
Well, it's always better the next day.
How about
day?
A week later?
So leftovers. I mean, are there certain wines that stand up to the kind of decomposing meats and things like that?
Well, I could think of a lot of wines, you know, like a good Châteauneuf du Pape. With a high alcohol content, or yes, an American Zinfandel that would kill every bacteria around, you know, like something now, high alcohol that would kill bacteria.
Well, no, you know how things, once the flavors mingle, they're a little bit better, and I think stew is like that, definitely.
What about
Mexican food? Not so much. If you make anything out of the South of the Border chapter, you really kind of have to eat it when you make it.
I think we should challenge Jean-Luc to Hermione Gingold salmon pie.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man, the salmon
to
pie.
To eat it or pair something with
it? Pair it. We're going to hear which wine off the cuff we would drink with that.
Is that Albion's from Harry Potter? No, I guess not.
No, she's an old dead person.
That's still
alive.
She's
an old so she's in a pie. Okay.
It's so. Not how to cook dead celebrities. It's how to make the recipes of dead
celebrities. Oh, I thought
we cannot cook them.
You could,
no problem.
I guess, but
dead celebrities.
Okay, with salmon, depending on the sauce, you know, and I think that you have milk, sour creams, and you know, black pepper, Okay, we're going to stay white today. Wine. And I think
Ripple was probably good. That's stupid.
No. I honestly would see like a Roussanne based Côte du Rhône from the south of France. Something low acid, rich, a little bit oily,
water.
With aromas of white flour. Because I think that would cover the stink. I think I would stay with the white Côte du Rhône based on Roussanne. But that's a really uneducated guess right here.
Et voilà.
Et voilà.
I think it sounds good. Now, you mentioned Ripple. Now, Ripple, I know, this is the only wine pairing I can do. Ripple goes beautifully with Red Fox's tomato sauce, his spaghetti sauce. Because he used to always make Champipple, which was Ripple and ginger ale. And you mixed it together, you made Champipple.
My heart! Elizabeth, it's my heart!
It's the Pepe Van Ripple.
Oh, okay. I think I'm going to write a book called Cooking with Ripple. I think that would be nice. For the holidays. It's so much sugar in it. I think we could make candy. Ripple candy, Ripple apples.
And you can boil it down. You know, yeah. I would boil it down to get more alcohol out of this
thing. Exactly.
Well, if you're going to tipple, you can stick with Ripple. See, that could be your thing for the holidays. It'd be nice.
Well, Frank, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
How do we buy that book?
Yes.
What's the title?
You go to a fucking bookstore to give them your money, Patrick.
What? Bookstores? Do they exist?
Can we steal it somewhere?
There's that. Or you can sit in your Jam Jams and you can order it via, there are links on deadcelebritycookbook.com, and also you can go to Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, and also walmart.com, believe it or not.
Walmart. And can we follow you on Facebook and Twitter, Frank?
You can. You certainly. I would love it. There's also a fan page for the book, and there's one for my radio show on Sirius XM. And what else is there? Yeah, there's a whole bunch of ways to follow me.
Check out
Frank
DeCaro
Show on Twitter if we're really going to do it.
All right.
Okay.
We do love your book.
Frank.
We love dead celebrities, and thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Take care.
It's going to be a dead celebrity holiday. I feel it now. Who's going to be next to Croak?
That's a good question.
No, it's not. It's a terrible question.
No. But
well, whoever is going to croak now till the end of the year is going to be the top person on the who died in 2011 list. So it's kind of a high
Betty
profile
White,
time.
She's
to go.
Doing very well. She seems very healthy on that show.
Yeah, and the nation would be heartbroken if she croaked.
Betty
yeah.
White? Oh, that, Betty would, White? That would be
She's
bad.
93 or something.
That'd be bad. I'd do her.
Okay, let's get the shorter list. Who wouldn't you do, Mike?
Bill Wyman.
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would do his girlfriends.
Oh, man. So here we are with the Beaujolais.
Is this broadcasted inside a restaurant?
No.
Okay, cool. Check out the sweaters.
There is a weird lamb sweater.
Oh, my God. Those two sweaters. It's like a contest in front of us.
For those of you out there in Radio Land, the studio is behind the restaurant with a big bay window and sort of like the cone of silence. They can see us but can't hear us. And, there are some bad snowflake sweaters out there.
It's Christmas.
Bringing attention away from my orange pants. I like that.
I like your orange
corduroys. Yeah, but those
are cool. Yeah, those are very cool.
Well, it's obviously laundry day here at Mike and Judy's show. So what else do we have to drink today, Jean-Luc? We have this nice Beaujolais, which
are we out of the well?
I can't wait for the next one.
I can't wait for the pizza.
I know. Well, there'll be pizza.
This
coming,
is a Jewish pizza. It's never comes.
Hey, it's
never spring.
We keep on talking about it. We're going to be talking about our Christmas gifts all throughout the season. We never get them.
Well, that's why. All right, let's take a moment here. Let's put this Beaujolais back.
Okay, let's come back to the Beaujolais.
We have another bottle of beautiful red wine here, and only 5 minutes left.
It's okay. We have the after show that only certain people are invited to.
But it is the best wine. He saved the best for last, so we should say a word about it.
Hold on 1 second. I think if you were, like that Beaujolais, by the way, it's called Les Raisins Perdus by Marcel Lapierre. This is not a vintage wine. This is made actually by one of the best winemakers in Beaujolais, but this is like a $12.99 bottle of wine.
I love cheap
that
wine.
He just make. I brought that for you.
Thank you.
And but this is something that's like an uncomplicated Gamay to drink right out of the bottle. And when I think about pizza, I think about wines like this. Mm-hmm. Something that's simple, easygoing. You're right, it's a little astringent. The acidity is a little high. But actually, that works great with food. And I love the label. I wish we were on TV right now because I think this is one of the most brilliant.
We can't be on TV. Judy is too hot for television.
I'll scorch whatever. They don't have
and
tubes anymore.
As soon as there's a camera, I get naked. So, we're better off being on the radio.
You fucking French people. What is with you? Just like taking your clothes off every time there's a camera.
We just love being naked.
Je suis prêt pour le prochain.
All right. Did you finish the wine? Hold on one second. You can only get the next wine if you bottom up your last wine. Okay, so bottom up, guys.
What's the word?
Bottom up.
The best line from today is from what you said earlier. If you open a bottle of wine, finish it.
I feel the same way about a bottle of vodka, though.
So you can't really have a liquor cabinet in your house.
His liquor cabinet is one single bottle box.
Yeah, so sustainable and like a wet bar, not really synonymous in the Edison household.
Oh, do you hear that? Tragic cough is still lurking.
Oh,
thank you.
Judy, I worry about you so.
Okay, Judy, you're out. You couldn't finish your glass on time. Time's up. Okay.
What kind of Irish woman am I?
I thought you were like the last of the Habsburg line. Like, she couldn't digest the grapes.
I'm gonna
the Habsburg line has ended.
So what's the difference between the one we just drank, the uncomplicated Gamay, and the one that you guys are drinking right now?
Well, this is very cool stuff. The next wine we're having now is a winery called Tenuta della Terre Nere.
Like Judy
it's
Tenuta.
A Sicilian wine. Like Judy Tenuta, yeah. Except it comes in accordion. It's like,
volcano wine.
It's the volcano wine. This is really cool stuff. Terre Nere 2010. This is made from a grape, prick up your ears, Nerello Mascalese. I practiced my Italian before I came here today.
Good.
I know. I feel very sexy right now. I feel like Sophia Loren right now.
It's bringing me to tumescence when you say it. Can you say it again? Will you
there
say
is nobody you won't have sex with.
Merello Mascalese. So this is, okay, this is a very cool stuff. This is a wine, when you think of Sicily, you think of a very hot place. It's, you know, it's in the Mediterranean. Look at the color of this wine. This is, you could read your newspaper through this glass of wine. It's very light in color. This comes from very high up, over 1,000 feet. Those are some of the highest vineyards in all of Europe. It's over 1,000 feet high vineyard on the side of the Etna mountain.
Which is still active, right?
Which is still active, yeah. So if you find a few particles of rock in your glass, it's because it just made it in a way during vintage.
I like this. It's very dry. I'm getting sort of like a dark cherry kind of vibe out of it.
This is a $22 bottle of wine, and wow. I think it's hard to get a better... All right. One more gulp, Judy. Here you go.
No, and yes, Judy, there are people I won't have sex with, to answer your question.
Are you going to get served
Jean-Luc
now?
Jean-Luc is not one of them.
Did you hear the French guy speaking Italian? Who wouldn't do him?
No, he's hot. Katie said, oh, your guest is very attractive. Like, yes!
Ooh la la.
Are you sure she was talking about him and not me? No, just kidding.
I think she was talking about, you know, I think a lot of time, you know, I get that comment because I'm carrying a 3-pack of wine. And the second I drop it on the table, like, people are like, yeah, sure, he's okay. He's a French guy in a room, you know. So. But I think this is very special. This is very special stuff. And not in an American... juiced up type of wine. This is a very pure wine from the heights of the Etna mountain in Italy. I love this stuff. I could drink this with pizza if there was any around, or I could have this with many other things.
So now this is $22 now. In 3 years, what will it be? 100? Because it's very good.
Listen, I'm not on Wall Street. You know, and that's the thing with wine. You buy wine to enjoy it. I'm tired of like saying like, oh, well, this wine is going to get in price next year, this year. I'm not a commodity trader. I'm a wine lover. Mm. And like, if it get, you know, like buy it now and enjoy it. And no, I mean, buy it because it's never going to be that expensive.
It's delicious.
And
it's
fantastic stuff. I love it. Once again, it's been the 30 fastest minutes on the internet today.
He just slurred.
Are we done already?
We're done.
That's it. It flies like nothing else is going on. But that's why I love Jean-Luc and Ledoux Wines and Washington Street, because they serve not only the 1% but the 99%.
What's the website?
You are truly a wine store of the people.
We serve anybody. Huh? We aim to serve.
Yes.
Do you guys have a website?
We have a website. It's ledouxwines.com. So it's, I'll spell it. Yes. L like lithium, E like ecstasy, D like down, U like Uranus, W like wine, I like I want to go home soon, N like N. E and S.
Okay, and this show today has been brought to you by the letter M for Mike and the letter J for Judy. Once again, it's the Mike and Judy Show. You're on Heritage Radio. Thank you guys so much, Patrick, Jean-Luc, and Judy. Happy holidays. Love y'all.
Thank you.
Bye. Goodbye.
You'll probably get sweaters, underwear, and socks. Is a nice hard cock. You deserve a cute boy who's horny and queer to make the most out of Christmas cheer. I wanna be your Christmas present.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world, or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.